This recording was made at the second Asia-Pacific OutGames Human Rights Conference, held in Wellington, New Zealand in March 2011.
Ngā mana, ngā reo, ngā iwi o te ao, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. I'm not going to begin by acknowledging everyone, but I am going to express my particular thanks to Barry for acknowledging the Pike River disaster in his remarks earlier today, and to say a special welcome to Karina and others from Christchurch who are here today. Fantastic you could make it. No matter what Grant Robertson says, I am the gayest man in Parliament. And if he wants the challenge, I say bring it. I'm wearing here today, I don't get the chance to make a big speech, but just to make some introductory remarks. I'm wearing today one of my most treasured possessions. It's a pink triangle badge from 1979, I think, which was our campaign, actually in the end against the Warren Freer amendment. For students of New Zealand history, you'll know that was a particularly important time for us. And the wording on it, there's a map of New Zealand on it. It's a very faded pink, unlike myself. But the wording on it says, "We are everywhere." And goodness me, when I look out at this group of people, and Grant was really right about this, you are a fantastic looking bunch of people. I'm not saying that just because you get to vote in the whole gayest MP thing, but it is amazing for me. And I was speaking with David Hindley just before the start that I remember, I think it would be 1989, Joe Crowley and I co-chaired a New Zealand lesbian and gay conference. And I think that was the last national lesbian and gay conference that we had in this country. So it's amazing to be here 22 years later and to be assisting and attending an international conference, not only of lesbians and gay men, but of those wider communities also. I think the themes that you have for the conference, which I have to say is probably the most thoroughly policed conference I've been to in many a year, so thank you. Perhaps spread out to deal with the threats, maybe. The themes of the conference are around strength through diversity, and that's a fantastic theme, because where we get our strength from is both from being who we are, the breadth of our communities, but also the intersection of those communities, coming together and actually supporting each other. And that's pretty much the theme for this first plenary session of the conference. Those intersections of all of our communities coming together and all of our nations coming together. So I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Elizabeth Kerekere, from Te Aitanga Mahaki and Whanau Kai. Elizabeth has 30 years of experience working within Māori and other community organisations. She has been active in LGBTIFQ communities for over 20 years, with a particular focus on the health and well-being of takatāpui and queer youth. From managing her own consultancy and treaty relations to founding Te Whanau Whanau in 2001 as a support, advisory and kapahaka group for takatāpui to represent takatāpui at the Lesbian and Gay Archive of New Zealand Board, to running the Māori programs at Out There, Queer Youth Development Project, Elizabeth has walked her talk. She is a sought-after speaker and her writing has been published in books and journals. Elizabeth is about to embark on the first ever PhD focused on takatāpui at Victoria University Wellington, while undertaking the Māori Visual Arts degree at Toihokura in Gisborne. So please join me in welcoming Elizabeth Kerekere. Kia ora, Elizabeth.
Nā te mea tuatahi, ko papatuanuku e tāko tōnei, ko rangi nui e tūnei, tēnā kōrua. Tēnā koe, e rua muko, Rauimoko, kia tau te rangi marie. Mauria mai ngāti ni aitua ko wehi atu ki te pua. Hei maumahara he tangi hia. Firstly, we acknowledge Papa Tuanuku, our Earth Mother, and Rangi Nui, our Sky Father, who together sustain us on this earth. I acknowledge the youngest child, Rauimoko, who sits nestled within his mother and expresses his displeasure with the earthquakes we're experiencing. As we remember and grieve for those who have passed away within our whānau, our families and our communities, we especially send our thoughts out to those people who, in those countries, in those places of Christchurch, Haiti and Japan, who I believe have paid the price with their lives for the continued defilement of our Mother Earth through nuclear reactors, oil refineries, mining and so-called land reclamation. I also want to greet the iwi, the mana whenua, who opened our hui. They lend mana and authority to this gathering, and for me, clear the way for all of us to stand and be here. My greetings to the organisers and the dignitaries, particularly Barry and Gavin, who have made sure I got myself here and got myself organised. I really appreciate it. Particularly want to acknowledge Kevin Honui, who has represented the interests of Takatāpui throughout the planning and organising for the Out Games and for this conference. Ngam hi aroha, kia koe. Okay, last month, I just have to say, like this week, I have met nearly every lesbian I know. They are in Wellington. It's crazy. Yeah, Wellington, you have turned it on. It is so cool. But last month, we held Te Matatini o Te Rā in Gisborne. It's a small coastal town for those centre of the universe, Kilda. It's my tribal home. I recently moved home there. But after 2 years of solid practice throughout the country, culminated in the epitome of Māori cultural performance, or kapahaka. And for each group on stage, though, it really struck me that there were hundreds more who didn't qualify, who helped organise in the marae, who were feeding people, who were just at home learning all these new waiata, the new songs, composing new things, and just honing their performance. And because of that, throughout the country, for those 42 groups on stage competing, overall the standard is lifted throughout our people. And I believe this is what this conference does for our queer communities throughout the Asia Pacific and beyond. And I'm very proud to be part of this. I said to Marilyn, I feel like a baby before the wisdom and experience of my two panel members. And I appreciate the opportunity. Okay. Three key things to say about me. Okay, so there is a point why I raised about Matatini, is that, therefore, to honour that part of my culture and all of those queer people throughout our region who, for whatever reason, couldn't be here today, I've structured my talk. I decided this yesterday and sat up last night rewriting it, that, so if there's kind of pauses, don't worry. Talk quietly amongst yourselves. Also, I'm really glad to be speaking first. As each person spoke this morning, I was like writing all over my notes. I was like, oh, that's really cool. I want to mention that. So I'm glad to get this done right now. But I've structured my speech then on the bracket, that when the matatini come on, there's a set process we follow. So I'm concluding this first part, the whakaeke, where we make that entry and introductions. Three key things about me. My fourth was going to be that I'm Scorpion, because I thought that was really important. But... some people would like talk to me for 5 minutes and they guess that. But firstly, first and foremost, I'm Māori, indigenous to this country. As you introduced, te aitanga mahaki, te whānau ākai o kunei iwi. And for me, my name, Kerekere, means is one of the layers of the night, the intenseness, the blackness of the night before light existed in the world. Elizabeth, I was named after my grandmother, who, yes, was named after the Queen. I honour my grandmother, and so I get to live at home now as a full-time artist, writer and storyteller. Number two, I'm a lesbian feminist femme. I get to, and because of that, I get to enjoy a special connection with the butchers of the world, but particularly my civil union partner, Alofa Ayono, who, in enjoying the lesbian event last night that I got home at a decent hour from, but she got home just before I had to leave to come here, She may not make it for my final words. Okay. But on Monday, we celebrated 19 years together. And and I just want to acknowledge that as an act of revolution that I highly recommend. And finally, number three, I'm takatāpui. We've adopted this traditional term to mean Māori who identify as lesbian, gay, transgender, trans, queer, let me double check, asexual, queer or questioning, and bisexual. And being takatāpui brings together all the different parts of myself and it gives me a tūranga waiwai, a place on which to stand. So after the entry, the whakaeke is usually the mōtiatia. The mōtiatia is a traditional incantation, usually dealing with tribal history, and quite often whakapapa, our genealogy. And because we're a people from oral traditions, these kind of mōtiatian chants were used to ensure that knowledge was passed on from generation to generation correctly. So when we look at whakapapa, and we know that as Māori, we claim our identity through whakapapa, where we come from, who we're descended from, and that leads us to who our marae, where our marae are, and that's a key part of who we are. So as takatāpui, then we search for our predecessors, our ancestors, in that past, because that helps cement us and our identity. And so when we look back at the records of takatāpui, the earliest ones we have are European, about the 1770s, sailors and traders who came here, and they gave pretty much consistent records of same-sex and both-sex attraction and behaviour. Of course, some of them partook. Very attractive, our Māori men, apparently. It's just rumoured, it's what I've heard. And that. And so, in this quote, sexuality was enjoyed in many forms. People chose partners of either sex for pleasure, and same-sex love was not condemned or vilified. Continuing one's line, however, having children, was nevertheless a priority. So you could do what you like, as long as you have the kids. Okay? It's still like that. Yes. High performance, though, and erotic skill were greatly admired, and accomplished individuals, both male and female, feature prominently in the chant poems of their time, their physical attributes and relevant behaviours fondly detailed. That's fabulous. I mean, really. As a scorpion, I so respect that. And we've found specific examples within our own oral history narratives. It was through the separate research of takatāpui scholars, Lee Smith and Dr. Ngahuia Te Awe Kotuku, that the term takatāpui was found. Some of you will be familiar with the famous love story of Tutanikai and Hinemoa of Te Arawa and Rotorua, but it was the first ever Māori film was actually made about their love story. What is not so much covered is about the relationship Tutanikai had with his best friend, Tiki. And one of the history papers that they found is that when he wasn't with them, he said to his father, "I am dying for love for my friend, for my takatāpui, my beloved, for Tiki." And it is said, I have had confirmation from some kuia in Te Arawa that Hinemoa actually let Tiki come and live with them, and the three of them lived together. And so missionary and court records from the 1880s also show that Māori attached no shame or sin to same-sex or bisex behaviour. So by this time, the missionaries had been here for quite some time. And as we learned to write, we quickly adapted this new method of storytelling, and we recorded our own stories. One particular meant in 1853 for the fallen warrior Papaka Te Ngairoa, a youth who was sexual with that woman and with that man. It is interesting that when Apirana Ngata rewrote or and published Mōtiatia in the about 1928, that the sexual was changed in the Māori to affectionate. And so it would lead us to believe that there's a lot of history out there that we have to actually go and cast our takatāpui, our queer eye, on the original, all the original documents of anything that's been translated since. That missionary influence, though, strengthened. The colonisation of Māori came into full force, and because we were annoyingly effective warriors, we enjoyed the dubious pleasure of being both the first Indigenous people with whom the mighty British Empire entered into a treaty with, but we're also apparently, I think, the last people that they colonised. I think after the Māoris, they were over it. But the Treaty of Waitangi in 1840 was followed by a succession of legislation designed to eliminate our culture. Not completely unsuccessful, but we remain. We are here and we stand and we represent. So we abandoned some things. Some things, quite rightly, perhaps like ritual cannibalism. Thought Lika can go. And things like diverse expression, so of sexual orientation and gender identity, went underground. And so although the English Laws Act of 1958, that great thing where in one fell swoop we inherited the entire legislation of the of Britain, homosexuality became illegal in New Zealand, but we find no evidence of any Māori punishment for that kind of behaviour. And so for me, when I look back on that history and reflect on how our Māori people are with us today, I just wonder if the continued silence of our people around that is collusion with the colonisers and buying into all those Christian beliefs around that, or actually was it a form of protection for us? We won't talk about it, we know you're doing it, but we'll just, you know, pretend it's not going on, and then none of us get into trouble. And so that's something I really, really want to research and actually interview the oldest kumatua I can find, just to say, what are their memories? Because I know my great-grandmother was born in 1901, and she was quite happy to talk about her aunties and cousins who lived with women, had children, but never had male partners. So we move from the past into the contemporary form of waiata aringa, our action songs. And often these are kind of the meaty part of the bracket and tell a particular story or focus on a particular topic. This part I want to introduce issues around perhaps a framework for action and how we might influence what it is we want for Takatāpui, for the communities that we represent in our different areas. And for my work, I use a framework of expectations, which was originally designed to look at an organisation's responsiveness to the treaty by looking at how effective they were for Māori. And I've adopted this tool to use it for queer groups and for youth groups. And so I understand, after a quick word with Marilyn, that not everyone shares my excitement about strategic planning and writing policy. And so I picked my three out of 11, I'll spare you, organisational elements. I picked my top three favourites, then is about leadership, how your organisation is run right from the beginning and how you lead your group, your people, your organisation into the future. Decision making, who sits at the table, who says what's going to happen, and human resources. We want the world, and we can do that if we're prepared to work for it, find the people, find what we need to get things done. It's not always about money. But by developing all of these things, the whole point is that for a lot of organisations, for a lot of whether it's a campaign, start a new group, or analysing and trying to change something that's like been stuck forever in a way that's just not helpful for us, is one single thing by itself, appoint a Māori and put them in a job by themselves in a Pākehā organisation. It's not going to work. It very rarely has. But it makes the people in charge feel better. So one little thing usually will not work. So what we look is that all these things fit together. They interlock together. And so by doing that, our expectations is that to be effective for Takatāpui, and there's a saying in this government sectors of New Zealand, if you do things right for Māori, they'll be right for everybody else. They'll work for everybody else in our community who is marginalised. But to be effective for Takatāpui, the key things are that we are engaged in all matters that concern us, that services for us are designed and delivered to meet our needs, and that resources, systems and key people are made available to achieve this. So rather than go into those in detail, Let's leave it right there, and we'll move into the next exciting. I just made that up. I'm sorry. The next part of the performance is the poi. And some of you will have seen this, little balls on string, then you get really flash, they glow in the dark and all sorts of things. And people can imagine this poi on my hand. And the poi is, in our very gendered society, or especially in Kapahaka, the poi is a tool to show off the grace and beauty of our women. And so quite often the poi is very light-hearted and fun, sometimes a bit naughty, but sexy. And so I thought, well, the grace and beauty that's inherent in all of those who live our lives as women, then I think takatāpui have got a very clear run on this one. So I wanted to look at some of the things we have achieved. And at one end of the spectrum, there are those of us for whom cultural identity is everything. It is the mainstay. I was certainly like this before I moved to Wellington 21 years ago, where everything I did was for Māori. And the fact that I love women was kind of irrelevant to my life. It was just a thing over here. It was quite incidental to my politics. And until the homosexual law reform started, and I think I was 19, 20, when that kind of got happening for me to get involved in. However, I still want to acknowledge those that we would call takatāpui who were involved in key development and renaissance of our Māori culture. This includes the contemporary form of kapahaka that all Māori practice today. In the 1930s, this form was developed by Tuini Ngāwai, who is still hailed as a genius, celebrated every year and at all Māori festivals, but no mention, of course, of her female partner. And development of the Māori Women's Welfare, there's all sorts of Māori organisations, leadership in the feminists, Māori feminists. And I have to say too, I'm quite prejudiced, I just know more about the lesbian side of things. But even the establishment of Te Tauriwhiri e Te Reo, the Māori Language Commission, the establishment of Māori television and the Takatāpui show, all of these things that we've been part of. And on the other end of that, we've had those takatāpui who have been strong enough to go out and represent the issues related to our sexual orientation and gender identity. And two particular ones I want to acknowledge, I think Professor Alison Laurie, who's here, who's a leader in lesbian feminism in the 1970s, who spearheaded women's studies, gender studies around Southern Hemisphere, and today is chair of LAGANS, amongst the many other things that she does. But also, of course, Georgina Byers, who was a revolutionary, became the first Māori MP, as well as prior to that being the first trans MP and the first trans mayor in the world. And of course, there are many more who've achieved great things. And I think in honouring our ancestors who have gone before it is our responsibility to record that, to make sure that that's available for people who are coming after us. This is the part where I've written all over it. Bear with me. 5 minutes. Okay. We can do this, people. Right. But since the term takatāpui came into usage, it was found about the late 70s, early 80s, and it has increasingly gained traction, not just as a term to refer to Māori who may be identifying as queer in whatever way, but as an actual identity which seeks to bring all those parts of ourselves together and focus on issues specific to us so that we don't always have to choose in any given circumstance, are we Māori today or are we queer today? And you'll find it that in my services that are offered in this country in terms of health, education, we often have to choose. Just in life, when we go home, we be with the good Māori girl, and when we're in the city, we can go to lesbian things and hang out with the cooler crowd. keep getting in trouble. And I specifically wanted to mention the one and only book that exists about takatāpui, Sexuality and the Stories of Indigenous People, the fabulous Huia Publishers. I do want to acknowledge for wanting to publish the book but didn't want the word takatāpui on it. And so that comes to the next. This is like so the second last thing, the haka, traditionally done by our men. I'm fortunate to come from a tribe where the women traditionally have composed and performed haka, but it is a challenging, physically demanding performance. And here we have so much to be proud of in Aotearoa. We are privileged compared to many other countries. People who are represented here are, but as Grant said earlier, we have to resist complacency. It's really important that those of us who are older, who are employed, who have got into that comfort of owning our own homes, of all sorts of things, where we don't get hassled when we go to work, that we use that privilege to support those who are not in that position, particularly our young people who are still putting up with things that we haven't had to put up with for a long, long time. And so even though many of us are accepted by our home people, we know that from the research, from our experience in the community, that not all Māori are accepted by their family. We still know of young people being kicked out of home when they come out, having trouble, where do you fit on the marae if you're trans? What role do you play and how that fits with the life that you lead and who you are inside? That takatapu, we feel pressured to choose between being Māori and being queer, to marry and have children. That takatapu youth are significantly more likely to experience bullying, unwanted sexual attention and sexual and mental health problems that both their heterosexual and queer counterparts do not. Or they experience it more so, more likely, yeah. It culminates a negative body image and the things about increased risk-taking and suicide and self-harm that are prevalent in our communities. But sadly, our Māori elders haven't been really great about being supportive of us. And I won't go into the negative things that some of our Māori Party members have not voted and supported us on, or ridiculous marches to Parliament by ridiculous heads of ridiculous churches. So about 2 minutes. So finally, at the end of each performance is the whakawātea. It's a conclusion, it's a clear the way and come off the stage. And for those of us from minority cultures, we are well aware that the dominant culture is not going to just hand things over. We can decide to take things by force. Being the fabulous, loving people we are, we go, let's take a bit more time and we'll use our influence and use all of the skill, knowledge and resources we have to hand to influence things in a way so that we are not actually repeating the discrimination that is often used against us. What does the future hold? Okay, I thought through the experience of Takatāpui, Kaumātua, our now Māori leaders, that we it would be good to research how the impact of colonisation on Māori sexuality has manifested itself in Māori culture by developing effective strategies to reduce homophobia and transphobia in contemporary Māori life, that we can create a safer environment for Takatāpui, particularly our young people. And by connecting the past to the present, we honour the memories of those Takatāpui ancestors in whose footsteps we follow. And amongst ourselves, we strive to create meaningful intersections of our culture, gender and sexuality. Because can we create spaces of acceptance, safety and love, which do not require silence and sacrifice? I believe so. We have done it here. We will keep doing it. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, kia ora hui hui mai tātika. Yay. Have I got time to do a pop song? Okay, like Auntie June said when she said it is a traditional or that we do a waiata, I thought I would get my te whanawhana people to join me in a little waiata. You may hear it at different times in this conference. At ka waiata kia papa, he nei whakai, whakamitia mai, te whare tangata. He ne pūrotu, he ne Māori e. rua o te ao o te ao. Kia ora.